T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary. 5, 4, 3, 2.
Hour number 2, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. We mentioned this yesterday afternoon. Kirk Minahan, co-host of Kirk and Callahan on in the mornings here, who had been out of work this week, and frankly, I'm sure a lot of people thought he was on vacation. There's a lot of vacations going on in the summertime.
Exactly.
He tweeted a couple of tweets out yesterday afternoon. I read them to you yesterday, but I repeat them now as a prelude to playing this. His first tweet, he said, "I've talked a lot about my issues with depression, and I've battled it the last 3 months or so. Last Thursday night, I checked into the ER at Winchester Hospital with suicidal thoughts. I was then moved to McLean, where I was treated and released earlier this week. I'll be back at work tomorrow, and I'm a little nervous about it, but I'm not ashamed or embarrassed, and we'll do what we do. We'll talk about it." I was tuned in right at 6 o'clock this morning. I didn't know exactly when they were going to address it. And he even said he wasn't quite ready at 6 o'clock to dive into the whole thing.
But they lead with Ralph Webb?
They were talking football, too. Yeah. Like we did. Yeah. They didn't seem as big on Ralph Webb as
That's
you are.
That's all right. They'll come around.
They might.
They'll get there.
But true to his word, Kirk Minahan did talk about it. Talked about it at length. He was on today with Jerry, and Mutt was there as well. And I'm just going to play this segment for you, and you know, we'll comment on it on the other side. But this was Kirk Minahan this morning.
I was scheduled to be in last Friday. I was scheduled to be off Monday, Tuesday, in Wednesday, Thursday. I think today as well. I was not. so I guess yeah, anybody who listens to the show, we joke around about it all the time. Jerry makes fun of me for it, and he'll continue to do it because that's what friends do, and I want that. Believe me, that's going to continue. I have had mental health issues in the past and depression that I was hospitalized for a couple of times in my senior year in high school for a while. And they've been up and down and up and down here, you know, in my life. It's just the life of somebody who has depression, which is a real thing and an illness like anything else. I'd say in the past year or so, particularly following the death of my parents, I've had a hard time, if not handled it well, I think in the past year, particularly over the last couple of months, it's really accelerated to a point that it's never been before and really bubbled up, I would say, even more so over the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks, to the point where really for the first time in my life, I started having what I guess is termed suicidal thoughts. And the way it manifested itself for me was I think I hid the fact that I was thinking about doing it by pretending in a weird way like I was almost doing research on it. Or if you, Jerry, or you, Mutt, or Mike, handed me a almost came up to me and said, "Listen, I'm going to commit suicide on day X. I'd like you to put together the plan for me." That's how I started to think about it. I read books. I went online. And if you want to go online for it, it's like anything else, a rabbit hole that never ends. Figured the safest way to do it, the least safe way to do it, the way to do it that may not look like you're actually doing it, the history of it, the percentages of success, the percentages of failure, and landed for some reason on trains. I got sort of focused on trains. And there's a commuter rail, obviously, there's a bunch of them. There's a commuter rail that goes from Lowell to North Station, you know it, and stops a couple of times in Winchester. Winchester Center to Wedgemere, which is like a mile, if that, and doesn't pick up the kind of speed that would do the required damage. However, the one from Wedgemere to Medford would, and I began to look at that. I went on the train a few times that way, tested it out, then would sort of walk a couple of times, walk the route. And there's, you know, sort of a woodsy thing, so I'd sort of hide and whatever. And the day, last Thursday, I went the middle of the day to take a look and watch it go by and said, okay, well, there's a 7:56, I want to say, is when it was arriving in West Medford, and 8 o'clock or 8:02 at Wedgemere. And said, you know, I'm going to go. And again, I was lying to myself, I think, and saying that, you know, I'm just going to go look. I'm going to look. I was thinking about it. And there I was, you know, at 8 o'clock-ish, right before, wandering around the Wedgemere train station, going around the parking lot, kind of walk around the field around there. And a few minutes before, I stood in front of my car and I said, I don't want to do this. I don't want to die. I know I don't want to die. But I also know this thing in my head that keeps talking about this and saying, examine this and look at this and look at this and the word suicide. And the fact that how I felt internally, and I felt for the past couple of weeks like I was having a heart attack almost all the time. I was having a hard time breathing. And I was also playing this character, A, on the air, who was feeling good, and around my family who was feeling good, and talking to my brothers who was feeling good, and joking and doing that. Meanwhile, sort of dying on the inside. I said, I simply cannot live like this anymore. I have to give over. I have to give up whatever power I have. And I drove the car to Winchester Hospital and walked up to the emergency room people and the woman and said, you know, I'm having very dangerous thoughts. And that was the beginning of, you know, 5 days of hospitalization between Winchester that overnight and McLean for 4 nights where, you know, I went in and I feel a little better now. I feel cathartic being able to tell my wife and my family and my friends that I was going through this. And there was a burden that I didn't handle well.
I know that there have been times in the past with Jerry and Kirk because, you know, they have a tendency at times to get a bit bombastic and get a little over the top. And I know that there have been people who have said, you know, oh, I don't know if that's real or I don't know if that's real. We're all wrestling fans in this room. And the wrestling term is, was it a shoot or was it a work? In wrestling terms, if it's a shoot, it means it's all just part of the show. It's fake. It's, you know, it's just part of the entertainment. A work is real life. I think that was a work. That was not a shoot. That was a work. That was real life. I texted Kirk this morning after he got off the air. I didn't want to do it while he was on the air. And I told him I thought what he did was very courageous. And sharing it the way he did took a lot of courage. And I think, my hope is that it helps somebody else out there who may be having some bad thoughts and maybe wondering about the value of their own life. I sincerely, and I said this to him as well, I hope and I think he's going to be okay, but I'm really glad he's getting the help that he needs.
Yeah, and I think for everybody in that situation, and I think that's, you know, other people hear that, and they probably kept that to themselves before, and now they know that here's somebody else willing to talk about it, and that's with, like, a lot of different things. You know, you might think you're the only one suffering from this. Like, whatever it may be, you feel like you're the only one, and then you hear somebody else talking about it in a public forum, and then, you know, maybe that makes you feel a little bit better that you know you're not alone. So there's more of that, too, on the website, too, if you wanted to hear
the entire thing.
Much more of that.
We played the biggest portion of it because we wanted to give you as complete a storyline as we could. Yesterday, when I read the tweets, I said at the time, I thought it was irresponsible for us to comment on it. He hadn't even spoken yet, other than his tweets. I wanted to hear him. I wanted to hear what he said. I was able to hear that this morning. You were able to hear a large portion of it there. I hope he feels better. He said it was kind of cathartic to be able to speak about it. I sincerely hope he feels better about it all. I hope that, like I said, he's getting the help that he needs and that he's progressing forward.
That's not something that you're just going to be over.
No,
something that's going to be with you forever.
He's still got to work through this.
And,
you know, I'm not suggesting, okay, everything's fine now. He's not suggesting that. But thankfully, he stepped back to his car and said, I don't want to do this.
He's got, what, two kids?
I believe
two?
So, yes.
Three?
It's two.
Yeah, two.
A wife and two kids, and I'm sure that entered into his thought process as well.
Yeah, you hope so. I mean, you never know what people are thinking.
Well, I was listening like everybody else this morning, you know, riveted to the radio, and I'm sure you were as well. But I wanted to give you an opportunity to hear a big portion of it this afternoon. And again, I'm saying this now on the air because I told him this off the air. I thought what he did took a lot of guts. There are times, I think, when the relationship between the morning show and our show has been less than positive.
You think?
I think I'm not going out on any limbs.
I don't know if this changes anything.
No, but my point is, I would never want anything to happen to anybody.
I'm not looking for people to kill themselves either. Exactly. I hope nobody would think that. Yeah,
exactly.
Right.
And I want him to be better. I want him to feel better. I want him to be positive and go forward and go on with his life. And I was happy to hear that that's what he did.
Who do you think, Nick?
Nick?
Hold on, Devin's looking at me. We're talking back and forth.
Oh, God.
Sign language. Sorry.
Hey, there's a line. You're either with them or with us.
I'm sorry. He made fun of my pants. He said they're a little too tight. I don't think they are. I think it'll stretch them.
I was going to ask you that, too, because I see you got something in your pockets, or maybe you don't.
I mean, it's my wallet. It's pretty thick. Just kidding.
It's your keys.
That's my keys, yeah.
That was last night. By the way, I do know the difference between shoot and work.
It's a serious topic, Dale. We got it. I know what you meant.
Shoot is real life. Work is not real life.
You thought it was a shoot.
I mean, quite honestly, last night I thought, you know, Scott Zolak's talk about Rob Ninkovich's pants was a work.
Yeah, maybe.
It was not a shoot, although he might be infatuated with Rob's pants.
Could be.
Rob will be a Patriots Monday regular, and he joins us right now. I've never seen more grown men talk about another grown man's pants and how tight they were than last night. It made me uncomfortable.
They weren't that tight, honestly. I mean, they had the spandex in them. They're a little bit. They had the flex, so you could do the splits.
Were you wearing Sansa belts?
Oh, you could do splits. Wow, good.
I could do it. Oh yeah. I've always been limber. I've always been flexible. That's what made me what I was on the football field. You know.
Was it hot down there?
Corner.
Was it hot on the field, Rob?
No, it wasn't hot. It was actually beautiful. If it would have been sunny, yeah, I would have been just melting. But it was good. It was nice.
All right, so tell me the truth. After a game like that and kind of a lackluster performance, especially in the first half, how upset does Bill Belichick get with the team, you know, in the days after that? Or does he just sort of, it's like a practice, we just move on?
No, I mean, I've been a part of some of that first preseason game, knocking the rust off, you know, first live tackling drill. I've been a part of a few of those where, you know, the first team or the guys that were going to play a couple series go maybe three or four series because Bill's not really liking what he sees. So, you know, I think those guys, they got to do some tackling. They got to do a little bit more live stuff. And it's hard. You know, you can't do that in practice. Obviously now there's a little bit more restriction on that stuff. So, you know, they'll be good to go. And it's just the first game. You got to knock off some of the rust and get back out there and play a few more of these games here.
I have two quick questions. How many dogs do you have, and how big are they?
That is the neighbor's little.
Okay.
I feel better about it already.
I was like, what was this guy? Okay.
I mean, the guy's like literally carrying it like a football.
I know last night on the broadcast you highlighted Jawan Bentley, and he played pretty well, another Purdue guy. What do you think of their linebacking group right now? I think them, you know, in coverage was an issue last year and maybe even going into this season. Where do you think they're at right now?
I think they're, I think they're in a good position with, you know, they got a lot of guys that, you know, they're new faces, they're young guys. Eventually a young guy has to become an old guy. So, you know, there's going to be some young guys that have to make a big impact this year. You know, I like Bentley. I think that he, brings a lot to the table as far as smarts. You know, he's a smart guy, obviously Purdue guy, so he has to be smart.
Right.
You know, he can control the defense. He understands coverages. He understands, you know, tempo. You watched a couple of the plays last night where he was really, really tempoing the football. When I mean tempo, not just diving in the gaps, because that's when you get in trouble. When you start running up into the line of scrimmage, you know, that's what offenses want, so they can trap you and they can get you in the wrong gap and, you know, hurt you. So, you know, I think he did a great job last night. Obviously his first NFL game, preseason game, but, you know, I think he did really good.
Last night, the Washington Redskins lost two players for the season to injuries, including their projected starting running back, Darius Geis. And it got us thinking about the whole prospect of playing in the preseason. A guy like Tom Brady, a guy like Rob Ninkovich, is it worth the gamble to play them at all? Do they really need to play in the preseason?
You know, I think the first couple of years, you definitely need the preseason games, you know, to get some time. But, you know, after a certain amount of years in the league, I really don't think that they're as necessary. Maybe a two-game preseason would be you know, enough to kind of just get your feet wet and go out there and make a few tackles, then you're good to go. So, you know, I think that four is kind of pushing a little bit too much. My last few years playing, I didn't play in that last one, so I always had, you know, a couple weeks to get ready for the first game of the year. So, you know, I think a guy like Tom, you know, he really doesn't need any preseason games, maybe just one to kind of, you know, see a little bit of a defense, you know, get the feeling of getting hit, maybe knocked around a little bit, but not, you know, obviously risking injury. So I feel bad for those guys that get hurt in preseason. You know, like Jules last year, you know, went down the preseason game. It's tough because it really doesn't mean anything.
Now, when you're a veteran player, is there a conversation that happens with Belichick or the other coaches? Like, yeah, I want to play or I don't want to play? Or does he just tell you, like, here's who's in and here's who's out?
I mean, you never say you don't want to play. That's, you know, the game of football is every time you have an opportunity to get on the field, you want to play. So, you know, as a competitor, you don't ever want to go to your coach and say, hey, coach, I don't want to play. So, you know, number one, I think, as an athlete, as a competitor, you always want to play and work on your craft and become a better football player. But then a part of you just says, hey, I don't want to get hurt, but I got to go out here and I got to compete and I got to play fast. Or else that's when you do get hurt. You know, when you're kind of not full speed, not kind of making sure, oh, hey, I'm not going to fly into this pile and do what I would do in a regular game, that's when you get hurt. So, you know, for me, my mentality when I played was, hey, preseason game, I'm going to go make as many plays as I can and, you know, in and out, get the job done and, you know, move on and get into the regular season healthy.
Rob Ninkovich is with us, part of the telecast last night on Channel 4, and will be a Patriots Monday regular on Dale and Keefe, beginning with the start of the regular season. You've been through those joint practice things that the Patriots seem to like so much in preseasons. Did you like joint practices with other teams?
I actually did. You know, it got the competitive juices flowing a little bit more than if you were just going against, you know, the same guys on your team. But sometimes those do become a little chippy, and you could possibly put yourself in a position of, hey, I'm beating myself up here in these practices before I play in a game, which is what you don't want. But yeah, I think you get some good work out of those joint practices. But again, in training camps are a lot different now than they were in my first few years. I mean, we had a lot more contact, a lot more tackling drills, a lot more, you know, just time on the practice field. So that definitely does, you know, affect the outcome of some of these preseason games.
Jason McCourty did not play last night. You saw Gilmore, you saw Rowe, you saw some of the other, you know, normal starters in the secondary. By him not playing, is that a good sign that maybe they feel like he's good to go, he's going to be on the roster, or is that a bad sign that he wasn't even out there?
No, I mean, I think that you can't look into, you know, guys that didn't play in the first game, just the basis of, you know, maybe they got something going on that, you know, health-wise wouldn't be smart to go out there and play. You know, at this point in his career, you know, I think that the first preseason game going out there, and if he had something going on and getting yourself hurt or taking a step backwards is not what you want. So, you know, I'm sure that next week, in the next couple weeks here, you'll see Jason out there, and he'll be flying around too.
How much do you think the defense will change with Brian Flores calling the signals, even though he's not the defensive coordinator?
It's definitely going to change. It's not going to be the same stuff, but you know, you still have Bill that's going to oversee everything and make sure that things are being run a certain way. And you know, I've personally seen, you know, certain situations where if Bill overhears, you know, a certain play or a certain coverage that we're going to run and doesn't agree with it, he'll just come in and just chime in and say, hey, I don't think we're going to do that, and we're going to go this way. And, you know, whoever the coordinator is at the time, Matty or B. Flo now, would say, okay, we're not doing that. We're doing what Bill's saying. So, you know, he's always going to have final say in what goes on. That's what the head coach does.
Why do you think Julian Edelman played last night? I know he has the 4-game suspension, but he's also coming off of an injury. You mentioned it, you know, last preseason. Why do you think they ended up, you know, playing him in preseason game number one?
You know, I think that he has to get out there and play. You know, when you have your ACL injuries, I've had one. The best thing to do is to get out on that field and play football. When you kind of don't go out there and do that, there's always that question in the back of your mind, hey, am I ready to go? Am I ready to play? Is this knee strong enough? Is it ready to take those cuts and the hits? So, you know, it was good to see him out there flying around. And, you know, next week I'm sure we'll see even more of him.
Besides Juwan Bentley, did anybody else jump out at you last night?
Yeah, definitely Webb, running back. I think he did great. I think he'll kind of, you know, solidified what I thought of him as a running back even before he came here. You know, I always respected him as a running back. You know, I think Lee had a good play on the edge there for a sack. That was a nice rush. And, you know, there's some young guys that, you know, you need to see a little bit more tape on. You need to see that live action. You know, when you start getting – when you are in the position of playing against twos and threes in the end of the game, you have to make plays. You have to show up because the coaches, when they're evaluating, you know, they take into account the competition levels that you're going against. And you're a third, fourth quarter player going against another team's third and fourth quarter players. You know, those guys are the ones fighting for roster spots. And when you make the team, you make the 53, you're going to get into a defensive situation. You're not going against twos and threes. You're going against starters. So the competition level jumps up that much more.
Should we freak out that Tom Brady already has a sore back and the season hasn't started yet?
No. He'll be good to go. You know, Who knows he has a sore back? I don't know.
Jim McBride. Rob, Jim McBride does, and he knows exactly about injuries.
I didn't hear Tom say he had a sore back, so I can never take that into account of actually being fact, you know.
All right, before we let you go,
that's just the world we live in, you know?
True. I have to know before we let you go, which of your former teammates gave you the hardest time on the sideline last night?
Devin McCourty. He was making fun of my pants, but I just shot back at him as, hey, Mr. Sid, they got some nice stuff, and this is a full outfit, you know, giving them some pub, you know, for hooking me up. And, you know, he just laughed it off. I've seen him in some tight stuff too now. And he wears the shoes, the really expensive Christian ones, the Christian Louis Vuittons, which I don't even know how much those cost, but they're probably a lot because I never buy them. I've seen him in a pair of those. They're pretty expensive. So I've made fun of him before as well and his clothing choices.
Well, we're really looking forward to having you join us on Patriots Monday beginning September 4th. It'll be a lot of fun down at Gillette, and thank you for taking some time today as well.
All right, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Rob. See ya.
That is former Patriots defensive stalwart Rob Ninkovich, as we said. Part of the telecast on Channel 4. He's the sideline reporter for the 4 preseason games, but he will be a regular on Patriots Monday when we're down at Gillette Stadium beginning September 4th. I know it's weird, but regular season Patriots Monday will start on a Tuesday.
I don't get it.
Because of
Labor Day.
I'm very confused.
All right.
The time change has messed you up. Now the days of the week. Patriots Mondays on a Tuesday.
I'll figure it out.
What are we going to do? Okay. The defense will change with Brian Flores calling the signals, even though he's not the defensive coordinator.
It's definitely going to change. It's not going to be the same stuff. But, you know, you still have Bill that's going to oversee everything and make sure that things are being run a certain way. And, you know, I've personally seen, you know, certain situations where if Bill overhears, you know, a certain play or a certain coverage that we're going to run and doesn't agree with it, he'll just come in and just chime in and say, hey, I don't think we're going to do that and we're going to go this way. And, you know, whoever the coordinator is at the time, Maddie or B. Flo now would say, okay, we're not doing that. We're doing what Bill's saying. So, you know, he's always going to have final say in what goes on. That's what the head coach does.
That seems sort of self-evident, though. Yeah, that guy gets to make the final call.
I feel like he should. But I think he's earned it.
But don't you also get the impression that he likes to let his coordinators do the job?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, obviously he has veto power. He has final say. We understand all of that. But, you know, I'm thinking he probably doesn't overrule Josh McDaniels a lot.
No, but again, that now, takes time.
Brian Flores is different.
Well, and McDaniels is first in his second year.
Right.
Maybe you're standing there a little bit closer. And I think same with Flores. Now, that is one other, I guess, good part of the preseason. I'm with Ninkovich. He said you can maybe even get it down to 2 games. I think it should be 2 games max. I think the preseason stinks. But
he also agrees that Tom Brady doesn't need to play at all.
No, he doesn't need to play at all. But somebody like Brian Flores is a pretty good opportunity.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
He allows guys, they even go like next level down. Remember there were years, you know, Chad O'Shea's calling the plays, like not even the coordinator, somebody else is doing it. So it's an opportunity for assistant coaches to take on more responsibility. So that's a good thing.
All right, let's give you a couple of notes about the Red Sox game tonight. William Cuevas.
Yes.
Has been called up by the Red Sox. He'll be activated tomorrow. They get to activate a 26th man because of the doubleheader. It appears that he's going to be your game two starter.
Okay.
Now, I don't know how long they expect him to go, but William,
sky's the limit for William.
William Cuevas is there. Alex Cora told us Wednesday that Dan Butler was going to play at some point this weekend. Well, he's going to play tonight. He was recalled on August 3rd. That was when Blake Swihart got hurt.
Yeah.
This will be the first time he's been in a game. He's going to catch tonight for Nathan Eovaldi.
Oh, so that's good. So give Sandy Leon a bit of a break. Which he's probably going to have to catch tomorrow,
Okay. Yeah, because you got two games tomorrow.
Yeah.
And this note comes from my Nesson colleague, Adam Pellerin, which just cracks me up. If the Red Sox win tonight,
yes,
they officially eliminate the Orioles from the American League East. It's August 10th.
I know. It felt like the way both teams were going, though, it may have already happened. Like, the Orioles are so bad.
Realistically, they are. But
Yeah. Also, a win tonight for the Red Sox guarantees a winning record. So they could lose out and still have a winning record on the season.
They could go on a 45-game losing streak.
Right. And
probably not likely.
I don't see it happen. They got
too good of a club. Baltimore games in there.
Too good of a club, and they got a doubleheader with Baltimore. But that's pretty insane, you know, the pace that they are on. Even with the loss last night, now just under a 700 winning percentage.
Yeah, they did tick back below 700, which is troubling.
Yeah, it's tough. They got to bounce back tonight.
But we did say Dan Butler's going to play.
Good.
It looks like pretty much everything else is what you'd expect. Steve Pierce is back out of the lineup after he played last night. Moreland is back at first. I know that they were trying to do, because of the turf in Toronto, and Rafael Devers just coming off the DL, they didn't want him playing back-to-back games on that turf up there.
Right.
So that's why he didn't play, but he's back in the lineup tonight.
But the team's getting healthy, too, because Chris Sale's going on Sunday, and then it seems like Blake Swihart and Ian Kinsler aren't that far off either. So you get both of those guys, and then that way you'll get less Dan Butlers and less William Cuevases of the world.
It's a big night for William Cuevas and his family.
Tomorrow it is, yeah.
Tomorrow.
We're all looking forward to it, for sure.
And we hope he goes more than like three innings.
That'd be nice. Better than Pomerantz. That's sort of the bar now. You got to do better than Pomerantz.
Pomerantz, by the way, and I know that technically he's been told that he's going to go to the bullpen for the foreseeable future.
Yeah.
He's got to know.
His time is up.
Once you get to October,
yeah,
there's probably not a spot for him on this roster.
Well, the only way he has a spot is if other guys get hurt. That's it. I mean, he's just insurance, health insurance is what Drew Pomerantz is. Because Rodriguez, they're hoping he comes back, but maybe he can't. And who knows, you know, maybe Brian Johnson gets hurt or somebody else gets hurt. And then here comes Drew Pomerantz to save the day. If everybody's healthy, he's got no chance at making the postseason roster.
And I'm sure he's got two eyes.
And that's probably why he's looked the way he's looked the last few starts.
Well, we were talking about his body language.
Yeah, he knows.
And he's got to feel like, I'm playing myself out of a major league job here.
I mean, you'd think a lot of that has to be the injury that he suffered earlier in the year, because last year he was pretty good. Now, I know he wasn't in the playoffs, but no pitcher for the Red Sox was. No starter was, anyway. But last year he had a 3.32 ERA. So he was good. I mean, he was not great when they acquired him back in 16 from San Diego. He did not have a great time with the Red Sox. But then he was good last year, and then this year it's been terrible. Just been, I mean, ERA over 6, can't go deep into games, demoted to the bullpen. So he's been a mess.
So you're the Baltimore Orioles with the chance that you're eliminated from the American League East tonight.
Yeah.
And you're going to play four games against the Red Sox, and you're going to see Nathan Eovaldi, who hasn't given up a run yet.
Not yet.
David Price, who, you know, is still David Price, and Chris Sale.
I know.
In the three of the four games, you're going, okay, well,
just
probably
forget
not
it.
A great opportunity here.
Imagine having to play two more months as the Orioles. You have two more months of baseball you still have to play.
It'll be a ghost town there.
Nobody's, well,
when the Red Sox are there, they do fine.
This series, they're fine, and so they're happy about that. They're hoping that they can, you know, just play the Red Sox all the time. They're going to lose no matter who they're facing, so at least you can sell some tickets. But, yeah, that's going to be some, you know, Orioles, Rays, or whoever else down the stretch, there might be 100 people in the stands.
Guess about whether Duquette and Showalter are there next year? I think not.
No, probably not.
I think they're both gone.
I mean, Showalter has to go. And I guess Duquette probably does, too.
I've always thought Buck Showalter was the most overrated manager in recent memory.
You might be right. I mean, he's considered a good manager.
I thought he was too. Why?
I don't know. After 2 years ago, when he left Zach Britton in the pen and never used him, that was a huge strike against him. And there has to be something about he left the Yankees and they immediately won.
He left the Diamondbacks.
They immediately won. Even when he left Texas, they didn't immediately win, but they ended up having some really good years after the fact. So maybe that's what they need to do. They've had him long enough. They can get rid of him, and then, you know, maybe they'll improve. And then he can go back to TV. He was a nice Baseball Tonight guy. He's a big baseball guy. It'll work.
617-779-7937. Joe's in New Hampshire. Hey, Joe.
How you doing?
What's up, Joe?
How you doing?
Good.
It's a beautiful day today, and there's going to be a whole bunch of rain coming down the lane pretty soon.
Hey, Joe, we could use it, though. Am I right? We could use the rain.
Hey, you don't have to water the garden.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, the Red Sox are doing fine. Mookie's hitting cycles. Brady.
By the way, not taking cycles, hitting for the cycle. Yeah,
Let him finish, Dale. He's got some good points here.
You know, but I called up to talk about Free for All Friday, and
right, that's us.
Balls count anywhere Friday.
You've called the right place. Free Day Friday.
The Earth is flat, my friends. We're not on a spinning marble.
No, I love it.
No,
I love it, Joe. Give me a couple of reasons why. If you got them, if not, that's fine too. We'll just take the thought.
So I'd rather he had a.
You don't
reason.
Want to hear? Yeah, give us a couple
no, a
reasons
reason.
Why. Convince us, Joe, because Dale and I are both round Earth people. So convince
okay,
us.
Okay, okay. So you're standing on the waterfront on the ocean.
I'm listening.
You know.
Yep.
And you watch that boat go over the horizon.
Right.
Where's it going?
If it was flat, where it
I feel like, Joe, that might
Joe,
be more of our argument.
If it was flat, Joe, side. It would fall off the earth, right?
Your eyeballs can't see it anymore. It went over the edge.
So everybody died?
Just Titanic after Titanic?
It goes over the spinning ball. It's a round ball.
You just said it wasn't a round ball.
You said it was flat.
I'm talking about this. But if you pick up a telescope or binoculars...
Sure.
And you... stare at it, you can see it again.
Oh yeah, I mean even the best eyesight we have is not, you know, the same as maybe like a bird, like a hawk, like a they can really see great distance.
Joe, what is the drink of choice for happy hour in New Hampshire?
Well, I drink Bud Light.
Joe.
I'm not shocked to hear
take
this.
Take a few of those. That's not a good day for
have
it.
You had
I go to work at 5 in the morning and get out at 1:30 and it's Friday.
And I got an afternoon to kill.
Joe, I love it.
With your pretty voices and your education, and
that's
he went to Hobart.
I went to Hobart. Not all that great, here. Joe. I'll tell you what, though, that I'm going to model my days after you. Starting next week, I'm going to be getting up earlier. I'm going to be getting home from work earlier, and I'm going to be drinking a lot earlier. So I'm really excited that you called in, Joe.
Okay, thank you.
Hold on, Joe. Before you go, I got to ask you one more thing.
Sorry.
And you want to know a little bit more about the flat Earth?
No. I'm good there.
You're probably all set.
I wanted to ask you because supposedly you called in to talk about the moon.
Yes.
Where do you stand on the moon?
You didn't actually talk about the moon.
Does it exist?
Of course, the moon exists. You see it every. You see it.
Come on, Keith. You
quarters,
dope.
All right. Moons. We all see the moon.
Right.
Uh huh.
But you can't land on it.
My man, Joe. Yes, I'm right there with you, Joe. I'd love to argue with you, but I can't.
All right, let's get it over with. Thank you for listening to me. Let me hang up first.
Okay, go ahead.
Bye, Joe.
Bye.
Goodbye, Joe. Bye, Joe. Hang up.
Joe forgot.
Thanks, Joe.
Joe, you have to hang up the phone, Joe.
Call the day. Is it too late to add Joe to Week in Review? Probably is.
It's up to you. We can.
We have
do
a lot of
want.
Good calls. We have a lot of calls from this week.
It could be the whole 5 o'clock hour.
Hard to rank them, really, but I would put Joe right up there at the top. He was the guy that called in when Dale wasn't in 2 Fridays ago, and he said, I'm just calling in because it's Free Day Friday. That was him, right?
Free Day Friday.
Love him. That was good.
So,
yeah, his flat Earth.
When the ship goes and it disappears.
Wouldn't that be
he
sort of
he assumes everybody just dies, right? They fall off.
No, he says you can't see. I think it was more of an eyesight issue because he says you grab a pair of binocs and you can see them.
I'm pretty sure Charles Barkley and Shaq had this argument too, and that it's just the hills of the Earth. That are
hills of
him.
The earth?
Yeah, so like if you're, you know,
there aren't a lot of hills on the ocean.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of hills there.
I'm a big round earth guy. I hate to break it to Kyrie Irving and Joe in New Hampshire, but
more importantly, what time did Joe get out of work?
1:30.
So he can call at the end of you know, our time.
Oh, that's great. That's good.
We can't lose him. He's a
yeah, but I got to be honest with you. He won't have as many Bud Lights on board if he calls at 1:30.
Sorry, he seems like an interesting guy
to have now.
No, I know, but he seems interesting nonetheless. I think he brings something to the table there. He can call, yeah, that last half hour on the show. What's the problem? What? What?
When NASA shows us a picture of the Earth,
yeah,
the view from space,
people do believe those are staged.
Ah, much like some people believe the moon landing was staged.
Dale, when you're right, you're right. I am a round Earth person. I've been in planes.
Yeah, but the fact that he's on your side on this whole moon thing.
You don't like Joe in New Hampshire?
Oh, I love Joe.
Okay.
No.
Yeah.
No,
he just needs, better flat Earth arguments. Is what he
or
needs.
Or a flat earth argument.
Yeah, one good one. Yeah. I don't know. I feel like being in a plane and going different directions, you know, you can go around certain ways. That sort of kind of ruins the flat. Because if the earth was flat, wouldn't there only be like one way to go? So say you're in California and you want to fly to China. If it was actually flat, you could only go in one direction, right? Rather than, you know, going, you could go east or west. One way is a lot longer, obviously.
You and Joe are combining to give me a
popsicle
headache.
No, I'm trying to figure this out. I'm trying to get to the bottom of this. I'd like to know what the thought is. I dismissed that one. But as Kyrie Irving would say, you got to ask the question. That was like his whole point. You're like, I don't know.
Kyrie believes it.
I don't think he does either.
I think Kyrie's playing us.
I think he's just, yeah.
Joe is not playing us.
No,
Joe believes what he
believes. He feels he's very passionate about that. Yeah.
Dusty's in New Hampshire. Hey, Dusty.
Hey, guys, I just have to say, I think Joe said he gets out of work by 1:30. That means we have a half an hour.
Right.
I think he needs to be a guest on the show at least once a week.
I agree completely with you, Dusty. I think
I got to be honest, Dusty.
I have a feeling,
Dusty, that Joe, without a couple of Bud Lights on board, is not going to sound the same.
Dale, it's worth a shot. I think, can we book him?
I'm thinking once a month.
Dale, I'm from New Hampshire. We start our weekend on Thursday. So I feel you got a 2-day window to capture Joe.
That's a good point.
You guys can, you guys are going to go great. 2:00. I love you guys. I just want to say you guys are awesome, and I can't wait. I'm OMF, but I love you guys too on my ride home. But so I'm going to get a little of both. But again, I just call and say thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, Dusty.
You guys do it. You great job. Thanks, you guys.
Thanks. I appreciate it. And great programming note by Dusty. If we could get Joe 1:45 on Friday, just sort of pencil that in. I'm not opposed to it.
We'll just tell Devin McCourty. Sorry, Devin.
I know Joe's on the line, Devin. Bye.
But we got to talk to
Joe.
Good
luck this weekend, Devin. Joe's in New Hampshire. What do you got, Joe?
Maybe Joe could sit. Lead into Week in Review.
Oh, maybe he could.
There's a whole lot of stuff that's going to be
going
on.
There's a lot of moving parts here. There's a lot of moving parts.
But maybe Joe could be a part of some of the Devin McCourty interviews.
Yeah, he might have a couple questions for Devin. Liven it up a little bit. I kind of like that. Rossi, that is a golden ticket idea right there, huh? Wow.
That might be the best idea I've ever come up with.
He could ask him about Flat Earth. He could ask him about
whatever
else.
He called in earlier. He could ask Rob.
Yeah. Not bad.
Think about Joe asking about, you know, all the political stuff behind the scenes in the NFL.
Sure. There's a lot there.
Could really use Joe.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, did you see some of those tweets?
I mean, you just knew. The minute I saw some of the pictures last night from around the NFL.
Well, you had two Dolphins grabbing a knee. You had, I think, 4 or 5 Jaguars stayed in the locker room.
And you had a couple of guys.
Fist raised.
Malcolm Jenkins with the fist up.
You also had a guy, he was standing, but not with his team, and he had his back to his team, I think it was. So they were monitoring
all
that.
So he just didn't like his teammates.
Yeah, that could be just that. Or he was lost. We don't really know exactly what he was doing.
Don't know what sideline to go to.
But that's preseason game number one. Well, preseason week number one, end of the Hall of Fame game happened, but yeah, this isn't going away.
No,
this is going to be.
We said when the NFL came up with that idiotic plan, all they did was ensure that this was not going to go away, and it was going to continue, and it is.
It sure is.
The president's not going to let it go because he shouldn't. From his perspective,
his base loves
everything that he says about it.
But then one of his, I don't know if we want to do this now, but one of the tweets that he had. What he was talking about, part of it was right. Yeah, people spend a lot of money to go to these games, And then he says, didn't he say most of that money goes to the players?
That'd be wrong.
In the NFL,
47% of the money goes to the players.
Right. More of the money goes to the owners.
But I'm going to suggest that maybe the research aspect didn't of the that. Tweeting probably doesn't happen all that often anyway.
I'm sure he'll correct it.
Yeah, right. A couple of quick notes about the rest of the program. We do have Week in Review coming up at about 5:45 today.
Really highlighted by the callers this week. They did a great job.
And I almost hesitate to say this, but I believe there's a Keefe's Keys segment coming up today.
Oh, there sure is, Dale. There sure is. We're always on the ready. It's been a while, and we got some keys to the midday.
Oh, yes. That's coming up, yes. Too.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.